look real cool, didn't we? We wore those groovy shoes. Hey, welcome to Life with the Girlfriends, or as Julie would say, more Life with the Girlfriends. But guess what? Julie's not here tonight. She's down with a cold, and I've got vitamin C in my mouth. I'm fighting one. So we have a guest co-host. Are you there, sir?
I am here.
All right.
I am here. How you doing?
We have a guest co-host who is, his name is Greg, and he happens to be my son.
Hi, Mom.
Brother. But more important than that, you've been in a couple of movies.
Well, Elite, sure.
Hardball.
You want to say that? Sure.
Been on that Joan Cusack show in Chicago.
That
here.
I
have.
Yes.
You took the Jack Nicholson part in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
You're going, wow, but, you're really bringing out the, I haven't thought about that stuff in like, but I'm glad you are.
Well, I was thinking about,
when
we had the vitamin shop and we had like Carrot Top, you know, send us a picture because he's like a big muscle man, and
yeah.
And we put your picture next to Carrot Top, and people would go and come in and go, "Oh my God, you got Tom Cruise's picture!" We're like,
"Oh my
God, that's my son."
Oh, I love it. I love
it. How are you doing, son?
I'm doing, Mom. I'm doing awesome. Come on, this is great. I'm loving life. My family's doing great.
Good.
Work's fine. Yeah, work is fine. Come on, but I got work.
Really?
But yeah, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Good.
And, I was trying to. Yeah. I was in the minutes before the show. I was reminiscing a little bit, and I remember. And Julie said, "Mom, remember that he was number one in state in yo-yo in Illinois when he was like 11." I'm like, "Well, God, that's right.
Oh my
that
God,
that was pretty cool."
Well, you know, just for the record, I got to say, I was second. I came in second. I'm sorry.
Oh,
it was not
second?
First, people. No, it was second place.
Yeah, I totally blocked that part out.
I think it's so hilarious that you're bringing this up, because a few weeks ago, I just went out and bought, like, on the spur of the moment, I bought, like, literally, I bought $80 worth of yo-yos. and I gave one to everybody. And I'm like, we're all just sitting around doing the yo-yo. And believe it or not, I'm better now. I'm better now than I was back then. And I'm
you
like,
are.
Yeah, I'm doing all these tricks that I never could do back then.
Yeah, rock like, the, was it Rock the Cradle or
Rock the Cradle?
Around the World?
Yeah, Around the World. I think Shoot the Moon, maybe.
Shoot
you know.
The Moon.
that's my favorite, Shoot the Moon.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know.
So you were pretty cool, let's face it. Julie said you were cool, you were the coolest nerd.
That
when
could
you
be.
Were a kid,
perhaps, you know,
you got to a senior asked you to the prom when you were a freshman.
That's right. I'm one of those guys who went to the prom three times myself, more junior and senior year.
Yeah. So I'm setting you up pretty good here, right?
Well, you are. Keep going. Don't stop.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to think of other cool
here.
Stuff. you ride a unicycle?
That. You're bringing that up too. Did Julie just? Did I send a Julie a video of me riding the unicycle? And again, we just bought that like a few weeks ago because I learned that when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I just really I was talking to my wife and about the unicycle, and within 30 seconds she goes on Amazon and she goes, "You want a red one or a blue one?" I'm like, "Blue." And it came within a week and put it together, and I could. Muscle memory. It's unbelievable. I can still ride that thing.
What do the kids think?
They're kind of like just impressed by me. One, it's so funny. I'll literally, there's that word again. But I'll play like some video of like a juggler, you know, and they'll go, "Dad, can you do that?" You know, and I'm like, "No, not really," because it's like this way up. But they think I can do anything.
Sure.
Like, they'll see people riding a unicycle. They're going, "Dad, can you do that?"
Yeah, you can juggle, though.
Yeah, I can juggle, sure. But I'm talking about professional jugglers who, you know, make their living at it. But I think it's so funny that, you know, whenever I would show, like, you know, show her videos, let's say even of Tom Cruise, my daughter would go, "Dad, is that you?" It just was so funny that I'm like, no, that's not me. You know, she'll
well,
see,
whenever
she'll
there's
like,
a new Tom Cruise movie that comes out, you know, we all hear like, oh my God, Greg looks so much like Tom Cruise. Oh my God.
I get a little freaked out because it's like he's aging. We are aging the same or somewhat. If that makes any sense.
It
also
does.
Feels like I'm always like, he's copying me because I am not looking at Tom Cruise and trying to like style my hair like that or anything.
Right.
I'm going, who's following me? Because I don't have his hair styled like the same way I'm styling it. I'm like, what?
Now, see, we should have a picture of you on our, we should, you know, if we were really, you know, on top of things, we would be putting a picture of you up on the radio station.
Sure. Well, you know what, though? It's better, theater of the mind. I think once,
isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. Because if you, I think when you do put our pictures up side by side, you wouldn't see it. It has to be kind of like this. I think so.
Yeah.
But I know, like, when I was doing some deliveries, this is years ago, I'd come up to people's, I was either the mail. I forget what I was doing. But
I think you were delivering for us.
It was delivering. I was delivering for you guys. I'd walk up to their home, and they would literally say,
hey,
they would say,
that's Tom Cruise.
Hey, is that Tom Cruise?
The movie where, like, you complete me. What was that one?
Was it Jerry Maguire?
Yeah,
when I
that
saw Jerry
was,
Maguire,
to me,
was,
yeah, that was the
was
perfect match.
Yeah, when I saw Jerry Maguire, I was saying to myself, he looks just like me. I look just like Tom Cruise. Oh, my God.
No. Except you're taller.
I'm taller, yeah.
Yeah, you're like, what are you, 6'1", 6'2"?
Well, no, I can't.
6'3"?
I'm 6, right? Let's just say that.
On a good day?
That's respectable. 6'2", sure.
You're your father's son.
Yeah, well, I think it's great that though that if you think about it, you know, you and Dad produced someone who looks like Tom Cruise.
I know, that always freaks me out.
Yeah.
I heard you had your DNA done or something like that.
I did. I had my DNA done.
Yeah.
And
so
I
did
am,
you find out you were Italian like me?
Ha ha. No, I am like 65% German. And you'll be surprised. Like, the natives of Germany are like 45%.
Oh, how funny.
So I am more German than native German. And also, I would say any Italian I have, it's the next number, so I can't. Mm-hmm. I don't have the numbers right off the top of my head. But it would be like Northern Italy. And then I also have some Welsh.
Yeah, exactly. My mom's father was like 100% Welsh.
Oh.
So my grandfather.
Yeah.
And then my dad's family were from Northern Italy.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah.
It totally makes sense. And that's
so there
and we
you
have
go.
There's
so are you as a full German, are you celebrating Oktoberfest?
Oh. I am not celebrating Oktoberfest. I'd love to, though.
Yeah.
I've had a few drinks over the last couple of days.
You don't have your lederhosen on?
No. Can I tell you my drinks were real quick, though, just for the fun? Because it was kind of slim pickings around here. I had a lot of hard liquor. I had I had this coconut rum, but I had was a kid's juice boxes. And so I took the kids' juice boxes and made a mixed drink out of it, that was nice.
Yeah. So kind of a fruity, coconutty rum punch something or other.
Yeah, exactly.
Julie was saying to me, she goes, Mom, there's only 2 days that I hate living out here in the country. And one of them was yesterday. And yesterday is we celebrate Halloween. And so we have, you know, kids from all the surrounding towns are allowed to come into the complex. And,
not fair.
And if you want to give candy, you turn your light on, you know. But it's like crazy madhouse, you know. And and then the other day is the first weekend in May is our first Saturday in May is yard sale day. And again, it's like, you know, a billion people come into the complex, you know, looking for sales, you know. But yesterday was one of those days that we went, damn, we forgot about it, you know, when we didn't have any candy, and like we're all huddled and all the lights are off. Please, kids, and the parents come in big trucks, and they have like 9 or 10 kids on the back, and we have like hay rides where everybody's wearing, you know, the scary masks and everything. So, you know,
it's this way everywhere, but I mean, when other kids from other like subdivisions and other parts of town come to your place, it just kind of seems like it's unfair to you guys.
Yeah.
You know, I don't mind.
Yeah.
We get it out here too. Not as much, you know, since we live in a real close kind of, you know, all the homes are kind of bundled together and kind of landlocked a little bit, you know, with roads and stuff. But yeah, it gets pretty hectic out here in Halloween.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And,
So Greg.
Yes.
Tom Cruiser.
Yes.
You're the co-host for tonight. You're the new co-host. What do you have planned for us? What are we going to talk about tonight?
Let me tell you something. I have several topics.
Okay? All right.
But we can just breeze right through them. Boom, 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 boom. And if you want to stop and talk about it, milk it a little bit, you know, dive deep, get deep onto it, no problem.
Okay. All right. And as long as you don't mind that I've got, I'm sucking on vitamin C.
I don't care.
Good.
I got my water. I got my water bottle. You know.
All right, sir.
Right.
And all I want to do is a few times during the evening, I want to promote the Clutterfly effect, because I want to tell those people out there. I want to thank the 4 people who bought the book last month.
Okay. Sure.
The whole entire planet.
Heroes. I would like
thank
to call them
you.
Heroes.
Kudos to you, people.
They are.
Now, if you only 4,000 more would buy.
I know, I
so
have
I wanna,
them on my
I wanna
shelf.
Make sure
I was like,
people hear about the Clutterfly effect.
Yeah. Well, it's a great book.
Yeah.
You know, and there's a picture of me in that book too.
Yes, there is.
Anybody out there wants to?
Is that the one that is? Are we saying that? What we said that you look like Tom Cruise?
I don't know. I really don't know.
There is a people. If you want to see a picture of my son who looks like Tom Cruise, buy the Clutterfly effect.
Yeah. We got to mention this, that when we met Oprah Winfrey, I think full disclosure, when we met Oprah Winfrey, I shook her hand, and she was like, you don't look like Tom Cruise. But she met Tom Cruise, so I don't know.
Oh, she said that?
Yeah, remember that?
No.
Well, then, you know what, quickly just don't hold onto that thought.
Yeah. She said
everybody,
that you don't look like Tom Cruise.
Look, that's Oprah Winfrey. Look, all I know is, even at my age, whatever I'm doing, I still have people who come up to me and go, you know, you look like Tom Cruise.
Right.
I just have to laugh it off. I go, yep, I do.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if I'm wearing
that
glasses
one time,
or not wearing glasses, whatever.
Right, yeah. You took your glasses off, and then you gave them that Cruise look.
I'll do the Cruise look.
And then he goes, oh, yeah, now I see it.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I love it. I think it's just so fun. I can't get it.
Cool. Okay, sir. You are, I'm handing it over to you, and you are the lead tonight.
Okay. The first thing that is topical is Chicago Cubs. Do you mind talking about the Cubs?
No.
Because they're my favorite team.
Because we did have some heartbreak.
We did have some heartbreak. They were swept, and we were so excited because they were the third. They had the wild card, and they beat the Pirates. And then they beat the Cardinals in 4 games. They lost the first. I mean, they lost the first. They won the next 3 to go to the NLDS.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody was just so excited. We were really buying our World Series tickets in advance. We were like, we're going to the World Series. There's no way we're not going to the World Series.
Yeah.
And as we all know by now, no spoiler alert here, the Cubs got swept by the Mets.
Yeah.
Outplayed. And by the Mets, the New York Mets. And I would even say by one man, even Daniel Murphy. Daniel Murphy played fantastic baseball. And when I was watching the because when I was watching the Mets Dodgers game, he stole third base on a he was at first. The next batter walked, and he stole third base on that play. And I'm like, oh my gosh, the Mets, they could, they're going to be a contender here, and they're going to they're going to give us a run for our money, and they did. I think Daniel Murphy is an awesome baseball player, and they deserve to win.
If the Mets win, my feeling is then that's kind of cool because we lost to the winning team then.
Yeah, I kind of feel that way too.
That's kind of my girl thought.
Yeah, that's. I mean, I'm holding on to that. That's fine with me. I'm trying to think of other, because I think in 2003 we lost to the Marlins, and the Marlins did go on to win the World Series that year.
Mm.
So I'm always like, well, we lost to the Marlins. That's okay. They won anyway.
Yeah.
It'll feel good. We did something that kind of made that four game sweep very easy to take, which was my wife spent $2,000 on game five tickets.
Whoa.
Did you hear that? $2,000 on game five tickets.
So you got reimbursed.
We got reimbursed. After losing the first two, I'm like, well, we're gonna sweep the next three and we'll take one in New York.
Right.
After like the first couple plays of game three, my wife and I both got up and went, oh, we're getting swept. They're gonna sweep us. and on game four, I'm like, don't win. Don't win. You're never going to win the series. These guys are outplaying you. I'm a Cubs fan. Come on. I'm a diehard Cubs fan. But I'm actually wearing a Cubs shirt right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so funny.
Good for you.
But yeah.
Everybody in our town, the Shell station, go Cubs, go.
Yeah.
The florist, go Cubs. I mean, everybody had go Cubs, go.
Yep.
I really thought that we were going to win because of the Back to the Future thing.
Sure.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
Oh, sure, yeah. Cubs were going to win in 2015.
Yeah, the Cubs, the second movie, they go to the future, and the Cubs win the World Series in 2015. And I thought, oh, my God, that's just too synchronistic.
Isn't that crazy? Wow. The Cubs, I think they were just outplayed. They got too cocky, maybe, and they got too nervous. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't know what. But, that's what happens.
Who do you think is our best, player?
Oh, our best player? Hard to say, because I would have said Rizzo or Arrieta.
Yeah.
But I'm like... Our guys did not produce any runs. Our batters in those last four games, Rizzo was shut down. I think he had one or two hits during the whole series.
Mm-hmm.
And there really is. I mean, Schwarber, he was. I thought if anybody could have pulled this out, maybe he could have. But he had a couple errors, and I think. I hate to say it, but of all the plays, there's nothing. You can't really highlight any of the Cubs playing.
No.
You really just got to go to the. You go
and
to the
they
match.
Seem they kind of seem very young to me.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I guess like Bryant is 23 years old,
mm-hmm.
and again, throughout the year he's been hitting great, but Rookie of the Year, and in the playoffs on the fourth, the last four games, nothing. It was just so sad. Our guys could not produce anything.
Yeah.
And the Mets were lighting up our pitchers right and left, and our aces. And it was just, it was just shock. And I think one of the headlines at the Chicago Tribune was, was actually just shocked. Shocking. Shocking
it's
news.
It's so funny because I just didn't have the heart for it. Like I would, I'd be watching The Voice. Or Dancing with the Stars, and I go in the middle, like, oh, yeah, we're losing.
Damn,
we're losing.
Yep.
And then I think I fell asleep, so I didn't know if we had won or not, if we had won that last game.
Right.
And so I think I turned on the radio, and they were talking about the Blackhawks. And I went,
Of course.
We had to have lost because...
Right.
Chicago wouldn't be talking about the Blackhawks.
Right. Oh,
unless
yeah.
we had lost.
I know.
Sure enough. You know.
I mean, I don't know if you saw the celebration after we beat the Cardinals. It was it, to me, that was like winning the World Series almost. It was just so amazing to have beaten the Cardinals. And then I think we all just kind of thought, oh, it's going to be easy to beat the Mets. And, wow, no way. No way.
Well, yeah. I mean, I mean, I still even, I still have, you know, almost, you know, I was born in East St. Louis, so I'm, you know, kind of a St. Louis Cardinals fan all my life. And I even went to Stan Musial's last game. They took, they
really?
They drove him around the stadium and and everything. So I, you know, I still have some affinity to the
Cardinals.
Is it still the St. Louis Cardinals?
Yeah.
I'm a little,
I am shocked. You've never once, like, mentioned anything about the Cardinals to me.
No.
You've been holding that dear to you. Here I am, always talking about the Cubs, and you're a Cardinals fan.
Oh, maybe.
No way.
Yeah. I mean, I can remember they actually, this was, I mean, a while ago, but they said, hey, you know, could you run for Miss Redbird, you know, because that would the St. Louis Cardinal. She wasn't really the mascot.
No. But, it would be ridiculous to put you in a Cardinal suit, in like a bird suit, because you're the cheesecake, you know.
That's
You're the sugar for the.
Well, Miss Redbird was always a redhead, so
fun. You don't put Marilyn Monroe in a bird suit.
Yeah,
you put her out there in a nice dress, and you go.
Unless it's a skin tight bird suit.
That's exactly right. In case anybody doesn't know this, but yeah, Mom, you know, pretty good looking, and she would be, you know.
In my day.
And still, but in her day, you know, always, I don't know, football queen, wanting to be. I mean, back then, I don't know. They would just bring, you know, the eye candy to opening up a store. Oh,
that's,
you know, be the model.
I can remember I can't remember if it's the VFW or somebody called my family and said, you know, we'd like Christine to run for Miss Illinois, and my dad said, well, doesn't she have to have a talent? And they were like, no, not really.
They make one up for you.
They would
give you a talent, I'm sure.
It was true. I go, well, she's a cheerleader. She can just go up there and do cartwheels or something, you know.
You know, so that's kind of sad, though, that your dad didn't think you had a talent. I'm sure you had a talent.
Maybe it was my mom. I don't know.
And cultivated.
One of them said that, and like, you know, I went, damn. And then that year, the girl that won, you know what her talent was? She got on stage and she rolled her hair in big rollers to, like, Surf City or something.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I could have done that.
Oh, my God.
I know, damn it. You could have been the son of a Miss Illinois.
Sure. Oh, yeah. And then, I'm telling you, if you would have gone Miss Illinois, you'd been Miss USA. Miss Universe, whatever comes
Thank
next.
You
know, or married to Burt Reynolds.
That's right. Well,
although,
I've never
thank God you're not, though. He's pretty
Never met kinda. Burt Reynolds, but did meet and got asked out by Warren Beatty.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. Although, can I just say this, though? That I have always thought my dad, you know, your husband, looked like Burt Reynolds a little bit in the 70s. So that Cannonball Run.
Kind of,
Or the,
that
or,
dude.
Yeah, that with the, or the, what other?
The kind of 70s porno beard.
Well, God, my, yeah, exactly. Well, that was in back then with that porno mustache.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's a Cannonball Run, dude,
Was it Cannonball Run? There, what about Smoking the Bandit? I kind of thought like the Sharky's Machine.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely.
Right? Sure, or
thought he looked like Glenn Campbell.
Oh no, Mac Davis! Remember
Mac Davis? Yeah. You're right, Mac
remember
Davis.
Remember he permed his hair?
Yes.
And then he looked like Mac Davis. Hey,
where the hell is Mac Davis now?
Huh?
Where the hell is Mac Davis now?
Oh, I know. Well, I would tell you, I'm not dissing Mac Davis because I love Mac Davis from Oh, North Dallas 40.
Right.
That movie North Dallas with Nick Nolte and Mac Davis. Who would have thought to cast Mac Davis in as a quarterback?
Yeah.
I can believe Nick Nolte as a wide receiver, but
somebody did it, and that was the year that I gave perms to Daddy, and I gave a perm to Uncle Steve.
Oh my God!
I was just giving perms to everybody.
Well, you know, I think come on, that was in the era when was this pre Air Supply?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the rock group Air Supply.
Yeah.
Or like Styx or Boston, all those guys had like. White dudes with perms, you know, and like, you know, so I don't know.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, but he looked like Mac. He would have looked like Mac Davis.
Yeah.
Thank God you never permed my hair. Although you did butcher my hair a lot of time. Okay.
When?
Okay. I remember I would be like going out to parties and you would like, you know, cut my hair real quick and you would spike my hair on the top. And you would somehow forget to leave. You just left the side super long. And so I had like a side comb over. That would like, and I'd be at outside parties and the wind would blow. And like the top of my hair would stay perfectly straight up and down. And then the sides of my hair would just whip around my face. I'd be like, this is the craziest hairdo ever.
You know, Greg, you know what I used to use for the top of your hair?
What?
I used to use Jell-O.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. Yes, you used Jell-O on my hair. And I'm going to tell you, I'm a mom.
It was sticky.
Well, the year you dressed me up like Billy Idol.
Yeah.
You bleach blonde my hair.
Yes.
All right? And then you spiked it up with Jell-O. And then you sent me off to school. And, you know, here's me. I'm just like, I got my hair done. You know, whatever. About a 2 on the meter of things that happened to me that day. Except for the fact that when I got to school, I had so many girls coming up to me and, like, talking to me and, like, hanging around me and passing me notes. I was like, what is this magical thing called bleach blonde?
What is that magical thing called Jell-O on bleach blonde hair?
Jell-O. I know.
What was Billy Idol's song during that time?
Rebel Yell and White Wedding.
Yeah. Oh, that's it.
Yeah.
Oh, I bet you had the little girls just, come on.
I don't want to. No, I'm not. They just, you know, novelty.
Yeah. I remember right around that time, too. I think I was making, I don't know if I was making you some kind of costume, but we put paper mache over your face.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, and you forgot to put the nose holes in there so I could breathe.
Yeah, and so what did
eventually
you do?
Eventually,
it was
like, Mom, I can't breathe.
Something.
I can't breathe. I forgot what that was for. That was for the upside down man, I think, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. And you said, Mama, I can't breathe. And I went and got a straw and I cut it in half and stuck it up there somehow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got to say this story, though, about you cutting my hair.
Mm-hmm.
This makes me like laugh so hard. On one of those prom nights, I'm going to get my prom. I'm wearing wearing a white tux, and you decide to cut my hair in a white tux. And I went to prom, and I had little tiny hairs all over me.
That was my dastardly plan.
Try explaining that to your date and to everybody you meet at a prom. Hey, what's those little hair? Hey, Greg, what's those little hairs doing all over your jacket? My mom cut my hair before I went, before I came here, before my date picked me up.
I'm just wanting to make sure you're not that attractive to the girls.
Exactly. Well, yeah.
You know, so they kind of got the white prom tux on, and you got the little hair, and you got the little bit of throw up in your throat. You know, like, I can't, no. That's just not attractive. That was my dastardly plan.
Yeah, well, you did a good job.
Julie was reminding me. You tell me if this is true or not, okay?
Okay.
She was reminding me that when you were doing one of your plays and you were on stage, you said that I was feeding you lines.
Oh, completely.
Is that true?
Yes. Yes, it's true. Yes, it's true.
I don't
it's
have
so distracting.
That recollection.
You don't have that recollection, huh? Yes, I would make my entrance, and I would be have my. I'm like doing my monologue, making my entrance, saying my lines. I look at you. You're mouthing the words as I'm saying them. I'm like, gotta be kidding me. You're kidding me. She's saying the lines as I'm saying them. And then I've done a few faux pas on stage. And on that
one
particular
was,
time.
I remember
well, that particular
this
time,
one.
You didn't goof me up. But there was a particular time when I gave you a little high sign, you know, from the stage. And I got my butt chewed out by the director. She did not like me. I think maybe she liked me just like a little bit. And then after that,
she X'd you out.
She hated me. Oh, I deserved it, though. Come on. You can't do that on stage.
You break that third wall, right?
Oh, completely.
Hi, Mom. You're in the first row. Hi.
Yeah. Well, I'm embarrassed to say that, but it took me a while to, like, mature and to not, like, you know, be young and dumb. I'm sorry. but that's how I was.
Now we try to make you break character.
You try to make me break character, and I will not do it. I will not break character. I know. I had a bunch of times where I was, but again, thank God that I've had directors who did like me, even though I would kind of goof up a little bit, and they stuck with me, and they would like still give me roles. And
I remember one time you were, I don't know, it was a show they were shooting in Chicago. I don't think it ever really made it, but they wanted you in the background, kind of like just scenery.
Yeah.
But you had to do like 5 clothing changes. So you and I went to, I don't know, TJ Maxx or something. And I remember I got you like a cabbie hat, and then I got you a scarf. I think I got you some glasses so that in every scene you'd be looking different.
I remember that. There was it was called Mind of a Married Man, and was it Joan Cusack? Was it? I don't know, but I remember.
No, I think it was Mind of a Married Man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like a stand-in for that for that dude, and I always think it's cool that I feel like a connection to him. He will not know who I am, you know, that actor. I'm like, you want me to find his name? I can find his name. I don't have his name off the top of my head, but I thought it was really cool that I was able to do a stand-in for him.
Right.
And then I got paid more.
Yeah, that's right. I remember you had to walk across the bridge in Chicago. That could be just my fantasy, but there's Greg in the cabbie hat.
Oh yeah, no, it was cool. Oh, his name is Jake Weber.
Okay.
And I'm looking at IMDb'd him.
Mm-hmm.
Where IMDb is a verb. So,
hey, wasn't that? Yeah, we just made it a verb.
Yeah.
Wasn't it cool, though, that when you guys were over and we go, like, you know that Joan Cusack show?
Yeah.
And then you pulled it right up there.
There I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come on, that's a highlight for me. That's a highlight
reel.
That's
cool.
And a few weeks ago, again, not that I'm a complete narcissist, I just like to, go over my own stuff, but I looked on Netflix, and I pulled up Fastball with Keanu Reeves.
Mm-hmm. Hardball.
Yeah. Yes, Hardball with Keanu Reeves, and I pulled up the scene I was in, and you can see me in the window. I know.
That's my favorite. That's my favorite part of that movie.
Mine too. Come on. I like it. Interesting part though, when I'm watching Netflix, they edit the words he uses, and so they must have toned it down. He was a little bit, he was way more, you want to call it, way more graphic.
Who was the female lead in that?
Diane Lane.
Diane Lane, right.
Yeah.
I remember when you were shooting, right in front of that tavern scene, and she was standing outside. Dad and I were could see her. And I didn't really know initially that was her. I don't know if I ever told you this, but I almost like started crying. I go, oh, that poor girl. She must have cancer or something.
Right?
You know?
Yeah.
Because
she
was so
on
thin.
Camera, I guess. I know,
and
you
I remember, like, I'd never
skin.
Seen, like, super like skinny. Movie star thin.
Right. I know.
Wow.
She looked, yeah, but on, if you watch that movie, she looks normal.
She looks normal.
She looks normal for, you know, L.A. normal.
Yeah. Just I always think it's the screen adds, like, 20 pounds or 30 pounds. I don't know. But
well, do you know who Amy Schumer is?
I love her.
I love her, too. She's so funny. Dirty, completely dirty.
Yeah.
But really funny. And she was on an episode of Girls with, or the name escapes me right now, but that HBO series with
mm-hmm.
Girls. Anyway,
Leah
they had her.
Leah.
No. Lena Dunham.
Leah Dunham, that's right.
Lena Dunham. Anyway, you know, I always think of Amy Schumer. I think she has a normal body.
Right.
I think she's good looking. I think she has a normal body. And,
right.
And, oh my God, I saw her on that show Girls standing next to a regular actress.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm using general. Amy Schumer is an actress. I'm giving her props, whatever. But I'm like, oh my God, those actresses must be so skinny because they make Amy Schumer look a little bit heavy.
She looks
like
chunky.
Amy Schumer looks normal.
Yeah. And like, who's like her best friend now? Is it Katy Perry or somebody? Is like,
I don't know. I don't know. I don't follow up on Amy Schumer.
Yeah.
But
I think she's hysterical.
She is. She's hysterical.
Yeah.
She's super funny. Super smart. Her comedy.
You know,
is
it's
super
like,
smart.
And people, you know, like nowadays, I guess it's like, you know, it's not cool to fat shame, right? You're like, well, you can't talk about somebody's weight or whatever, you know. And
right.
And but I had like an incident this week at the, you know, you've been to our doggy, you know, the dog park, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And
yes,
so you know, our Elliot's there, and there's this like three cars that pull up, and they all got the bumper sticker, "Who rescued who." And
uh-huh.
So they're like these three people. They got three dogs, and Julie's like, oh, here's you got three dogs. And our Elliot just loves to play with doggies, but they were like, excuse me, they were like, oh, you don't have a rescue dog. Oh,
wow.
Well, we don't. You know, I don't know what's wrong with you. You do not have a rescue dog. What, you know, we're so cool. And
yeah.
I felt like we got, like, doggy shamed because we you know, like, oh, you have a designer dog. What is wrong with you people? But we, you know, the truth was we did look into getting a rescue dog. But at our place, they wanted to even begin the process, you had to have a fenced-in backyard.
Okay.
And I'm not going to – I got 3/4 of an acre here. I'm not going to fence in a back yard for a rescue dog.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's
it's actually
crazy.
Cheaper.
They wouldn't let you get a dog unless you had a fenced-in yard.
Yeah, he was like 100%. It was like cheaper for us to pay $1,000 to get a doggy, you know.
Easier.
Then it was put like $5,000 up to get a,
you
know, to get a rescue dog. So I really felt
it
like...
It was like some problems, too. I'm sure that, you know, rescue dogs might have some emotional... It might have some, you know, emotional problems.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever.
Oh, yeah.
You know, whereas, you get, you know, if you can take your puppy, you know, and, you know. And
Well, here's the thing. When you get a puppy, then you get to give them their emotional problems.
Well, that's true also. So, but it's your problems. You gave them that, you know, you're used to those problems.
Yes, exactly. You know, he's our Elliot.
Problem.
And He's our darling dog, and you know, we have a lady that comes. She lives in our complex, but she owns a doggy daycare, doggy whatever, in Ottawa, which is like about an hour away. But twice a week, she comes and picks Elliot up in her little red doggy van, and she's got three dogs of her own. And Elliot just waits at the window for Linda to come On Thursday, we got a call, and she said, you know, I was vacuuming on my ceiling the Beatles. I mean, you have to be in, you know, the Midwest in this time of year to get everybody has these Beatles or ladybugs.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And she goes, I got on my chimney ledge and I was vacuuming and I fell and I broke my foot. So.
Oh no.
So she's out for weeks, and of course poor Elliot is
Yeah. He'll be hurt.
He's like so unhappy. And we are too, because
you
take
him out every day.
He gets picked up at 9 and comes home at 6, and he's tired.
Yeah. It's not like you don't take him outside at all. I mean, he's just an active dog.
Yeah, but at the dog park or whatever, they got a big pole barn and they just run continuously for 8 hours, and they got pools and stuff. You were telling me this week, I think, weren't you, that, and I mean, you weren't vacuuming something off the ceiling. What were you saying?
Oh, this is hilarious. Yes. Let me set this up. I am, sometimes I get angry, and so I've been working, not getting angry right away. So I'm walking through my house, and I look at the ceiling, and I see there's pumpkin pie stuck to my ceiling. And I'm like, the first thing, my first instinct is to start calling off my kids' names.
Right.
You know, I'm like, okay, take a breath. What? Is there any other possible explanation for this? Well, it turns out that I had pumpkin pie with my kids. We had huge pieces. And when we got finished, we were on sugar buzz, full tilt, redlining. I just started running around the house. They were following me. And I jumped over the couch, over this half wall, onto the table, and I'm thinking I'm like the tough guy. I'm thinking I'm just the coolest guy. Turns out my foot hit the plate, the lip of the plate, hit it, flipped it up, and threw pumpkin pie up on the ceiling. That's the only way I could get pumpkin pie on there. And
you were ready to scream at your kids.
Yeah, I was ready to start grounding kids up, round them up and ground them.
Yeah.
Go to your room. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I think I did that.
Oops.
I'm like, oops. And okay, when is my wife getting home? I better get that washed off.
This is what happens when you're trying not to rush to judgment.
Yes.
That's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. Well, look, that's one of the things I'm working on, really. It is, I don't know if I'm using it right, but I consider it cognitive behavior therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they use it, in extreme cases they can use it for, like, violent kids and inner city and school. But I'm just basically, I'm saying to myself, when I get angry, it doesn't work for me,
mm-hmm.
and I need to just take a second, take a breather, maybe get more information before I start going all half-cocked and yelling and whatever.
Right.
And it really works. It works for me.
Yeah.
Another example.
And you save yourself a lot of stress. And,
I do.
And I think about that, quite a bit, like this, not a rush to judgment, and being able to just remain quiet, like you maybe just like breathe, and maybe be like, adopt the attitude of just being curious.
Sure.
Do you know what I'm saying? It's like a lot of things would be not as grievous, not as like horrible, if we just, rather than like you said, rush to judgment or I know what this person's all about, I got their number, but just like, I'm going to remain curious about this,
Yeah.
I think that works too.
I think it's a good word for it. Curious. You remain curious. You figure out more information about the situation,
mm-hmm.
and keeping an open mind about the intentions of other people.
Right.
And not rushing to judgment as if you know what the other person is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it has saved me a lot of stress.
I bet it does. Because when I was in school to be a therapist, the thing that you learn the most is to listen. You know, you're, rather than having to talk, like I used to think, well, you know, this was, you know, way early. I would think, well, I've got to give these people all this good advice. No. All you have to do is really, you know, really listen. Or, like in your case, you know, just really remain open. Don't judge. Be curious, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, definitely. Definitely. That's actually even, in some ways, it's actually helped my relationship with my wife a little bit, because sometimes, you know, she'll just want to vent a little bit, you mm-hmm. know, and I'm like, I'll immediately want to go to try and fix her problem, mm-hmm. which makes her angry. I'm mm-hmm. like, oh, you know what? No, just listen to her. Don't try to fix her or
exactly.
anything.
Exactly.
She doesn't want to.
You can't fix it. They're just venting, and like usually if I vent to Daddy,
right,
he's not trying to fix it. He'll just be like this. That ain't my fault. I didn't do that. he's like, oh no, don't try to pin this one on me. It ain't my fault.
Right. That's funny.
That's the difference between you and your father.
Well,
you're like, oh darling, yeah. How can I help you? How can I fix this? And Normano's like, oh, hey, not me, babe. Nah.
Yeah, but he didn't have you for a mother. I'm
just
going from what I can, you know, maybe what I know about everybody's lives here, the closest people to me, you and Dad. You talk to us, you know. You would talk to us, and you would talk to us about, you know, interesting things and important things and philosophy and culture and society. Whereas I'm pretty sure Dad's parents didn't talk to him at all. So, you know.
Well, also too, I used the technique of all that you said, but I also used I kind of invented the scared straight technique.
Yes, sure.
Where like and if you mess around and you're going to end up, go ahead and say where I used to say.
Well, working, pumping gas at a gas station.
That's right. Now you wish we had that job.
Man, that's a great job. Oh,
I know.
I wish we had that job. I wish we owned a gas station. Jeez.
That was my, you know, try to be really cool and be cultured. And if nothing else works, scare the S-H-I poop out of them.
Well,
you know?
We did grow up in the 80s, and I don't know about you, but anything back then was going to kill us. You know, unfortunately, the whole AIDS thing came out, and it was always like, oh, we're going to die. It's an epidemic. we're either going to get nuclear blasted by the Russians, or we're going to have a full-blown...
If you're not going to die, you'll get, or you'll work at a gas station.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. Right. There were, like, two options there. It was, like, working at a gas station.
And so,
some kids chose to have fun and to say, I'll chance that whole working at a gas station thing.
Yeah. Just in case I'm going to learn how to pump gas or whatever, siphon gas. I think I saw another bumper sticker this week. It was, like, if it said something about scared. It said, oh, if you ain't scared, then you aren't dreaming big enough. I'm like, whoa.
You're not dreaming big enough?
Right. If you're not scared, you don't have a big enough dream. I'm paraphrasing, but that was the bumper sticker. And when I saw that, I went, wow, that's pretty loaded, because, you know, we've all had, dreams that we've tried for and have, fallen off the cliff with them, you know, fallen mm-hmm. down the rabbit hole. And sometimes it was. I just felt it was a little, I don't know. What can I say? Not, I don't know. A little smarmy, you know.
Sure. I think bumper stickers that automatically, you know, want you to be scared. It's like bumper stickers should be positive.
Right.
You know, I don't want to look at a bumper sticker and go, oh, now I'm scared. Now I'm really scared. Oh no. I wasn't scared until I saw that bumper sticker. Holy cow.
Right.
You know?
If you're not scared, you're not dreaming big enough, or your dream isn't big enough. It was really, that's what it was like that.
Yeah. I don't know. That should be. They should really reword that. I kind of understand dreaming big. I like that idea.
Yeah.
You know.
I like that. I like dreaming big, but you know, as the Clutterfly effect, you know what our tagline is: tweak your way to total transformation by decluttering your life. And see, we talk about tweaking, not like dreaming big and then like jump off a cliff and hope that you land straight. But you know, just building upon building, you know, each little step of the way.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you kind of own it. I mean, you're always a little scared when you're, you know, in new territory.
Sure. Well, I think there's I love your line, you know, tweak your way to, say your line again, tweak your
total
your
transformation
book.
Total by decluttering your life.
Right. Because, you know, you can do a lot of big changes, little increments of at a time.
Yes.
And also with this whole, if you're not scared, you're not thinking big enough. I would say this: if you're pursuing your dreams and you're terrified, you know what? Maybe tone it down a bit.
Yeah.
You know, take smaller steps.
Yeah.
Because you know there are certainly safer ways to do things and not have to like risk your entire life on one of your dreams.
Right. Yeah, roll the dice on something and not be able to recover.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, there is some, you know, listen, there is some kind of, you know, you're right, there's some kind of middle ground because most people, you know, they have families, they have obligations, they have other things. They just can't, you know, roll the dice that big and be scared all the time because you got to get 8 hours of sleep to take care of the kids and, you know, and all that stuff. And,
right.
Yeah, so I kind of disagreed with it.
Yeah, and, you know, sometimes, like maybe your dream is to just have a clean basement, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, seriously, I'm looking at my basement right now, and, I mean, we got a lot of stuff in here, but I'm just like, my life would be improved if I could just, you know, clean the clutter out of my basement. I'd feel like I'd accomplished something, and, you know, and which is, again, you know, the whole philosophy of just tweaking your way, you know, just
in our basement, we have all these tubs, you know, nice and organized, but by tubs, you know, and Dad always goes, I'm going to take one tub a week, and at the end of this year, I will have this all done. And he's been saying that for like about 5 years now.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
That's so funny. That's so funny. You got to love him, though. I mean, he wants to do it, you know, but...
Julie and I always we say that if Norm says he's going to do it, that's good enough for him.
That's
he's
good
like,
enough.
Well, I said I was going to do it.
Yeah.
That to him that equals doing it. You know.
I don't want to dig on Dad because Dad, you know, Dad's awesome. But I remember that one time he was going to build a wood deck in the back of the yard and he had to break up the concrete.
Yeah.
I believe you were always saying, "Don't do it. Just don't do it. Don't do it." And then he took a sledgehammer to the to the nice concrete.
He took a sledgehammer, and he broke the concrete. And the day we sold the house, we sold it with that broken concrete in the backyard.
We sold it with half broken concrete.
Yeah, we were lucky.
well, you know who broke that concrete up?
You?
That was me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because I had to do that. I was like, oh.
And not only that, Gregory. You put the roof on that house.
I did put the roof on that house. Yeah, that's...
Yes. I mean, you are awesome. Think about this.
Well,
We got to do?
We got to
put your... let's give some kudos to your YouTube channel.
Oh, my YouTube channel.
Yeah,
hey.
Tell real quickly.
Sure. Okay. I have a YouTube channel, and it is the name of it is Punk Cat Films. PUNKCATFILMS.
Yes.
And it's basically I am reviewing toys, Legos, I'll do shoes. It's anything that interests me, and it's perfectly for anybody. It can be for kids, adults, anything.
Punk
I do
Cat
Hot Wheels.
And it's so and he's awesome.
Thanks, Mom.
Get to see you that you look like Tom Cruise or are you just
No, I don't show my face.
Okay. Well, how smart is that?
I think just because of, you know, I mean, it's a weird, it can be a weird world, you know, and just not ready to, you know, not ready to.
It's a weird world, sir.
It is.
But you know what, though? What did you think of the show tonight?
I love the show.
I thought it was great. It was great.